Welcome in, welcome back. Happy Wednesday to everybody out there. This segment is going to make you that much more happy because we get to speak with someone who did it on the field. One of the best defensive ends to ever play the game. That is not hyperbole, that's fact. Was also an executive, was also in the war rooms. So no matter what facet you want to talk about when it comes to football, this man has been a part of it, and we are lucky enough to get him on the phone every single Wednesday. Sean Jones joining us right now for his weekly segment. SJ, you know what? You don't have a good name for the abbreviation, the acronyms. SJ, did they ever try to call you that, Sean?
Yeah, a lot of people call me SJ. That's funny you said
that's,
that.
That's not good. It doesn't flow. It doesn't flow like the way you would flow out of your 3-point stance. SJ, S Jones. I'm trying to think. Sack junk.
The first banner that I ever saw where I was like, hey, I've arrived. If someone had this big old banner, it's my second year in the league, and it had Sean Jones breaks bones.
Ooh, I like that.
I like that one. I like that. You know what? There was one that I had. You know how my name's ND?
Yeah.
They put in defense.
Oh, okay. That sounds like a license plate.
Not as good as Sean's, though.
And I don't know if it meant I arrived because it was my mom and them. So it wasn't a fan. But Sean.
Hold on, Indy. Hold on. Sean, I need you to clear something up for Indy and I, please. On yesterday, Indy said that he would take Derrick Henry in his prime over Emmitt Smith. Would you do the same thing?
100%.
Woo! Preach!
100%. What? No way! No 100%, way, Sean.
100%. Man, y'all, see, let me explain something to you. And I'm glad we got into this because it's going to segue into a lot of the things we'll talk about in the segment. But what you don't understand is just think about this for a second, all right? And let it marinate for a second. In this day and age, how many teams are playing right now with 4 future Hall of Famers? Right now.
Let me think.
And none.
There's your answer.
And that's the difference.
Maybe Tampa Bay?
On a team that Emmitt played for, when you had a Hall of Fame wide receiver, a Hall of Fame quarterback, basically 2 or 3 Hall of Fame offensive linemen, the couple that aren't in that should be in, and they had a Hall of Fame running back. It's completely different what Emmitt had to play with than some other guys had to play. And don't get me wrong, you still got to run the ball. But Derrick Henry is a... The only thing that I worry about Derrick Henry is I want to see how long his career lasts, because this is a guy that, you know, 3 years from now, we're probably not having the same conversation about him because of how he's used and how he plays the game. That's what's unfortunate about the running back position now, but not even close. Even in his era, even in Emmitt's era, and this is no disrespect to era, to Emmitt Smith, give me Barry Sanders every day, all day. You know, I don't believe that Emmitt Smith was the best running back of his era.
I was going to say this, right, though, Sean, but you all were more physical back then. Y'all would have been able to lay the hat to Derrick Henry. Nowadays, these defensive linemen weren't as physical as you all were.
You know, it's unfair to say that, too. It's a different game now, you know. But I will say this. We went to the Oilers reunion in Nashville. You got to preface it with that the other day. In and of itself, it's a conversation. But have you ever seen Derrick Henry? I thought Eddie George was big for a running back. Right. Derrick Henry dwarfs, or I should say Eddie George is dwarfed by Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is a grown-ass man. I mean, he is just a big, big old dude. And then when you watch him the other night, and he's running away from DB.
No, I mean, it's amazing what he's doing. And I did also emphasize, and I don't want to make this a Derrick Henry segment, but I did also emphasize that even though I would take Derrick Henry over Emmitt Smith, I don't think Derrick Henry will have as many yards when it's all said and done as Emmitt Smith.
No. No.
Yeah. So I still
different game. It's a passing league. Much more. You know, when I played against Troy Aikman, if Troy Aikman threw the ball 25, 30 times, it was a lot. You know what I mean? It's a different league now. It's a passing league more than a running league. And plus, the running back position has gone by way of the Tyrannosaurus Rex or whatever they call that damn thing. You know, they're just not a position where you're going to invest a lot of money in over a longer period of time. And I'm really shocked that this at this part of his career that he hasn't held out to get his money. He's playing on, you know, franchise tag type deals, so on and so forth. But at some point,
no, before this year, he signed the deal.
Did he get the deal? Yeah,
it was very team friendly, and to tell you the truth, Sean, I thought it was somewhat smart on his end. You know, running backs, they are, look at Christian McCaffrey, look at these guys. Once they get injured or after a few years, their production drops. It was very team friendly, but I feel like, and you know this way more than I do, I feel like it's the type of deal that he's going to see the entirety of it.
And that's what you know. It's funny you brought that up. That's as a running back, those are the kind of deals you have to sign that you see all of your money, as opposed to being, you know, these deals where, you know, you like the Todd Gurley type deals, or even the kid up in Dallas. He's not going to see all that money, especially with the running back they have behind him or in tandem with him, when they can find ways to replace you. So you're right. I forgot. Henry did sign that deal, and after being tendered with a tag and then converting that, it made a lot more sense for him to do it that way. But I it's not a guy that's going to play 10, 12 years in the league. I don't see that happening.
What's wrong with Kansas City?
I think that what's wrong with Kansas City is the same thing that was wrong with Kansas City a year ago. And people that got covered up, or even the year they won the Super Bowl, to be honest with you, their defense sucks. All right, they don't have a very good defense. And like I told Big Sarge earlier in the year, Pat Mahomes is a work in progress. He's a young player still trying to learn the position. Some of the throws that he's trying to throw, he's reading too many headlines like, okay, Pat Mahomes can make every throw on the field. Dude, you can't make every throw on the field when you're falling backwards and you have no business throwing the ball. Sometimes an incomplete is a good pass. And so you got a lot of that going on right now. I think they're in flux with regard to, you know, systematic or systems and playing that system out, and the improvisation, which is Pat Mahomes, which has made him great. And then I think that something else that people are ignoring, you know, are the off the field things. You know, the car accident with Andy Reid's son, Andy Reid's health, so on. There's just a lot of things that are converging, and when you multiply it by the fact that your defense is not very good, then it gets exposed from time to time.
With the Houston Texans releasing Whitney Mercilus, with what Brandon Cooks said yesterday, then what he tweeted out, these are two guys that seemed to be Jack Easterby guys. With the release of them, with Brandon Cooks not being happy, are you starting to wonder whether you agreed with their transactions before, that the Texans don't quite know what they're doing? First, they want to have a bunch of experienced guys on one-year deals to prove themselves. Then it's this youth movement in the middle of the season. Do you feel like they're over there scratching their heads?
They are. And I've said this, I think, every week that we talk about this. I said, yeah, they have more. The only reason why we're giving Nick Cesario the compliments that he's received is because that position has been so deluged with ignorance. All right. So all you got to do is just pass the IQ test of just being able to show up, and you are going to be better than anything that they've had before. But it doesn't make Nick this genius. He still hasn't shown me anything. Some of the moves that we've made, in that Amendola move, like I said before, why would you waste that kind of money in this year? You don't have to waste that kind of money. Well, we need a locker room guy. No, you don't. You had a locker room guy, and why you get rid of Mercilus? You know, it's not making very much sense to me what they're doing, how they're spending money more than anything else, and what kind of talent they're putting together for the offseason. Like I said before, this is an audition for this team to put together talent, so when you get to the offseason, you're not completely redoing the talent all over again. And I don't understand. I don't understand when they kept the three aging running backs that they did in the early part of the season, and now you still don't have a running game. It doesn't make any sense in terms of what they're doing. But, you know, he's got the checkbook, clearly, and he's got the attention of the owner. So nothing else seems to matter, it seems.
Sean, realistically speaking, how long do you think that this rebuild is going to be for the Texans?
3 to 5 years. If it's done competently, and it really depends, you know, on what's happening with Deshaun Watson. It really depends, because now, if you say 3 to 5 years and you don't find a franchise quarterback in that meantime, it could be, you could be Tampa Bay during the 70s. You know what I mean? You could be on that run where you go, when are we going to win a game? Oh, yeah, we won a game. We're 1-16. You know, it could be that kind of thing, because you're still going to have to find a franchise quarterback. in all of this, in all this conversation, you're still going to have to find a franchise quarterback and a franchise coach that's going to be able to lead these men. And I don't think you have that guy in your building if you get rid of Deshaun Watson.
When Deshaun Watson said what he had to say and decided to hold out, not play, I don't even know what the phrase is. Do you think this is what he expected? Do you think he expected week seven, six, seven, to still be sitting at home, not have been traded, not have been playing football?
No, I think that they collectively, and this is where your youth, and now I was an agent for 7 years, and I've been in that green room a couple times with, you know, quality players, and I understand what it takes to manage young talent when they first come to the league. I do believe that the fact that I was 30-something years old and had played 13 years and had a finance background and a business background that helped me in the agent position, as opposed to that his team that he has around now, they're all young. They haven't pitched a drop in the league. They don't really understand how to work the league and how to put together a team around them. First of all, if you had the right team around them, none of this happens. That's the first thing. All right. And then the other thing, once it did happen, they let the player, Deshaun Watson should not have been the mouthpiece. He should have been the guy just still doing his community service, doing whatever it needs to be, being a great teammate, and having someone speak on his behalf. And so now I say all that to say everything is out of control now, where you can't trade him because of the pending civil action. You can't play him because of the pending civil action. He couldn't have anticipated any of this, all right? And then if I'm a team trying to trade for him, all right, what is that worth? You cannot believe that Deshaun Watson not playing is the same Deshaun Watson at the end of the season last year. You're an idiot if you believe that. Maybe they'll get some fool to buy into that. But any good GM is going to say, nah, he hasn't played. We don't really know what we're getting. And then we don't know what the outcome of these the legal wrangling is going to be. Let's wait and see. And that's where they are right now. It's unfortunate.
That's the voice of Sean Jones. You hear the intelligence, you hear the experience, you hear the knowledge, and you hear why we get him every single week in the trenches. As always, appreciate your time and knowledge. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right, brother. You too, guys.